Let us continue to worship our Lord this morning in prayer. Jesus, we pause in this moment as we pour out our praise for all that you are and all that you have done for us. We thank you for your love that never fails, that never runs out, that never forsakes, that never turns its back, your love that goes on and on and on. And we stand in that love today. Deep down in the valleys and high in the mountains, we cling to that love. We praise you because you're the giver of life, you're light in the darkness, you are the breath in our lungs. We lift up our praises to you today, Jesus. It's your grace that allows us to step into your holy presence. Your Son made that possible for us. The work that he did on the cross made that possible for us. And we thank you for your presence, Father. Would you continue to move in every life, in every soul, in every story? God, we want to encounter you today. We come before you with expectancy, and we also come with surrender. We pray that those who are broken would be made whole in you. We praise you for being the same yesterday and today and forever. We praise you for being our solid rock, our refuge, our fortress, our shield. Thank you that you're patient and merciful and kind. Thank you that you care and you are on our side. Thank you because even though you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the eternal God, you still know each one of us by name and what we are in the midst of. And so we praise you, Lord. Awaken us to who you are. Help us to trust you at deeper levels and to surrender our brokenness to you, Lord. Thank you that you forgive us whenever we cry out to you. Lord, this morning we want to pray for the situation in India. I pray that the people of India would experience your presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in the middle of chaos. I pray that you would bring life where there's death. I pray that you would bring hope where there's fear, bring freedom where there's bondage, bring the sweet aroma of life where there's the sting of death. We pray for your wisdom for the leaders of that country to make the right decisions. We pray that medical supplies would become available for those who need it. We pray for the families who are going through enormous amounts of pain, of loss, neglect, loneliness, and helplessness. We particularly pray for those who are feeling the pain of what it's like to not be able to care for their loved ones due to a collapsed health system. We pray for those who are hurting because they're not able to say goodbye to those who have passed away. Jesus, we pray for your church in India. We pray that they would find peace and comfort as they have lost so many people in their communities. We pray that you would strengthen their faith during this crisis. Lord, we pray for all the frontline workers who are serving people. We pray for Christians across the world who are engaged in helping people in all sorts of ways. We pray for greater collaboration, cooperation, and resource mobilization to support the people in India. Pour out your spirit over that country, Jesus, we pray. Lord, I pray as we continue with the service that you would fill our hearts with gratitude. We have nowhere else to be. Help us to be present and to keep our focus on you. So come and speak to us from your word. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds, so that your word might fill us. Give grace to Pastor Amy as she delivers the word that you have given her. Help us to see you, Jesus, through her. May your spirit work through her as she ministers to us and prepare our hearts to receive your word. Teach us, shape us, transform us. Help us to hear your voice and be encouraged by your words today. Jesus, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. It is great to be together today. There have been a number of articles that have come out in this past week about the dominant emotion of 2021 so far. It seems we're all sort of feeling the same way. We're having trouble concentrating, we're muddling through our day a little foggy. Even with the vaccines, most of us can't get excited about what's coming up next. We're pushing out our bedtime and staying up late. We're not bouncing out of bed in the morning with energy. We feel somewhat joyless, sometimes aimless, a little stagnant, and sometimes empty. It's called languishing. It's a term that was coined by sociologist Corey Keyes. And another way to say it is it feels blah, or fine, or meh. It is the middle on that spectrum where at one end there is vitality and health, and at the other end of that spectrum there's hopelessness or despondency. Languishing is right in the middle. And we aren't necessarily run down or worn out. We still have energy. And we aren't necessarily in distress. We're not desperate. But we operate with an absence of well-being or flourishing. And as we think about the journey of COVID emotionally, we first battled with fear, like intense fear and grief. We lost loved ones. We lost normalcy. We lost schedules. Our brains have been fighting to create new routines. And these things haven't gone away. Now, with the pandemic going on for so long, we now can have feelings of this new condition. National Post said it's the absence of the good stuff. Purpose, belonging, contribution, satisfaction, the vibrancy of life. And this stagnancy, it's suffering, even if we don't acknowledge it as such. It's an emptiness that we can't seem to fill. And we have been trying. We can do all kinds of things, things like Netflix, which are a nice distraction, but they're not fulfillment. Some days we fight feelings of restlessness, and some days it feels like enthusiasm can't be accessed. It's surviving. It's getting by. It's far from fullness. There's this great story that God gives us in our Bibles through Ezekiel, who's a prophet. And God gives them this vision. And it's a vision of a valley that's covered with bones. And I'd like to read it. It's from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 10. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." And this vision, it can be a similar picture for us today. Lives devastated by loss. Lives suspended and feeling broken apart. Our living community fragmented. This valley was full of bones. Like our world is full of people feeling this way. And Ezekiel said that these bones, they were dried from exposure. And in the same way, we too have been in our difficult circumstances for so long, and we are feeling drained and empty. And God turns to Ezekiel and he says, "Can these bones live?" And I believe that when God asks these questions of his people like this, he's inviting us to reflect and to consider. So it's the same for us today in our environment. In this valley that we find ourselves, can there be life? Can there be full life? like thriving and flourishing life. I like the way that Ezekiel wisely answers that question. He defers to God. He says, God, only you know. And so God shows Ezekiel the answer. Yes, life is possible. Nothing is impossible with God. And he brings life as only he can do. And it's interesting, he brings about life in this valley in a similar way to how he did it in the creation story back at the very beginning. He shaped the body. He shaped Adam. And then he breathed into him and brought about life. And we see the same here. At God's command, Ezekiel prophesies and every bone gets put into place and there's muscles and skin. And God forms the body, but there's no real vitality yet. And then God tells Ezekiel to command the Spirit to come, to breathe upon these bodies, and there is life. God's Spirit enters them and they spring to their feet as life with communion with the living God enters them, they live. Where there was no life, there is life. And God shows us by his Spirit within us, the fullness of life is possible. What is this Spirit-filled life? And if this is our opportunity to live, like deeply, wonderfully, fully live, I want that. So how do we know we have it? What does it feel like? Well, here we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He is divine, the third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He is a person, not some impersonal force. And he's active. Creation. And our Bible tells us that at the beginning, he hovered over the waters. He's the Spirit that our Bible displays as having divine attributes and characteristics. He's omnipresent. He's able to be anywhere all at the same time. He is holy. His very name, Holy Spirit. And God promises us him as our help, our advocate, our ally. And he says he'll pour out his Spirit on all his sons and daughters. And Jesus told his disciples to wait for the Spirit after his ascension. He said that it was to their advantage to wait for him. And then the Spirit came at Pentecost in power. And he is for every person who believes and receives Jesus. It's by the very Spirit of God that we are able to choose and trust the Lord, to turn away from sin and walk with God. It is to decide that we don't want to live the way that we're living and turn to Jesus and surrender our lives to him and commit our hearts to him. And by God's abundant grace, he gives his Holy Spirit within us. And by him, we experience a new life within. We let go of our old way of doing things, and he reshapes our lives the way that we think, the way that we act. He frees us from our old habits and invites us into new ways, his ways of doing things. He renovates the very core within us, and he gives us new desires, new purposes, and action. The Holy Spirit works in us to deliver us from all the junk, all the power of sin, and he works to restore us into the image of Christ. We receive the fullness of Jesus as we receive his Holy Spirit. As we commit our lives to Christ. And we also experience him more deeply and more fully in the days and the years to come. This is kind of like my marriage with my husband, Sean. And at our wedding, we were married in the fullest sense. And this is just like how we receive the fullness of Christ as the Holy Spirit comes into us. But we know that a wedding is not a marriage. Right? And then in the days and the years that followed our wedding, Sean and I have grown in our relationship. And it's in this same way that the Spirit leads us to know and experience Jesus more fully and more deeply in our lives. And it's in relationship with Him, this ongoing cooperation with the Spirit, that His very renovation of our lives will occur. Right? As we recognize that our ideas don't often work, that we are limited, and we give up on trying to do it our way. And we turn to Him, and we commit to His way and His ideas. And in my experience, when I've tried to solve things in my own way, I can do things like use my very resolve and try to persevere through it in hopes that the whole thing will just go away. Or I try and replace it with positivity and force myself to be joyful over top of it. But these solutions aren't really solutions. They don't last long, and they will leave us worn out. Instead, God wants us to go to Him. He wants to give us His divine solution, something that we could never do on our own. He wants us to let go of us doing it in our strength and take His strength for our lives instead. And by God's grace, the fullness that the Spirit of God wants to give us is blessing after blessing after blessing. Right? In the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. He gives us greater thinking than we could ever imagine. The very Spirit who inspired the Scriptures gives us understanding into heavenly things. He helps us to grasp spiritual ideas. And as we read Scripture, He brings awareness and application of truth into our lives. He will think in us, remember in us. He shows us the very good will of God and imparts the things of God into our human minds. In the Spirit, we have divine direction and guidance for every step and every decision that we make. The Holy Spirit uses Scripture to teach us, to guide us. He brings to mind verses for our every situation. And He speaks to us personally through words that He will impress upon our hearts, or He'll give us a picture about a particular direction, or He'll use other Christ followers and other people to direct us in the way that He wants us to go. He is for us, and He gives us divine wisdom and divine knowledge that surpasses human knowledge. In the Spirit, we have union and intimacy and togetherness. He remains in us. He never leaves us. He is always present. Wherever we are, we can count on Him. He is our friend. We are not alone. In the Spirit, we have His comfort and we have His support. He brings to us His divine peace, and it's a kind of peace that we could never understand. It surpasses anything that we know. He brings to us joy that lasts and joy that is full. We face suffering and we face sorrow. He pours out into our hearts His loving kindness and encourages us and ministers to us. He intercedes for us, right? All those times that we just don't have words, the Spirit gives words. He helps us in every weakness and in every difficulty. In the Spirit, we have love. God is love. And He brings His unconditional love into our lives, and we experience His mercy and His forgiveness and His grace and His sacrifice in Christ. God calls us His sons and daughters, His beloved. We are His forevermore. God's love has been poured out into us by His Holy Spirit. Life in the Spirit is so much more. It is deep and it is abundant. It is God for every moment, for every need. A friend told me just this past week, she said, can you imagine God who's so busy running the universe, he takes the time to love me so personally. It's so true. You can picture it like electricity that flows through the wiring in our homes, and it's constantly pulsating with power and always available to us. And this is similar to the divine life in the Spirit. God is present, and he is for us in every way. And without him, we just have this limited human ability. But in Christ, by his Holy Spirit, we have extraordinary possibility for our lives. We have access to life in languishing. In difficult times, there is joy still accessible to us. In times of anguish and sorrow, peace is made possible. When all seems lost, the Spirit can bring meaning and fulfillment to our lives. In never-ending boredom, the Spirit can birth purpose and give gifts. So, how do we experience this? Like practically speaking, how do we live like this? Live filled with the Holy Spirit. What can we do to practice and experience life and vitality and not get left in meh or blah or fine? Well, that vision that God gave Ezekiel in the valley displays two ways that God brought about life. Two ways that I'd love for us to try to practically incorporate into our days this week and in the days ahead. The first way that we see God bringing about his life is by his word. God's word brings life. Ezekiel prophesies over those bones. He speaks the words of God. And God's word is life-giving. We read that there was a noise. It says an awakening. There was a rattling. It says movement. A stirring up. This is revival. And things came together by God's word. Bone to bone, muscles, tissue, skin. There was life by the word of God. There was reconciliation for what was broken apart. There was restoration for what was lifeless. And there was renewal for that which was dried up. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God, and it's for us to take in. He breathes out, we draw in. God's word revives our souls. By the Holy Spirit who inspired it, he uses it in our life to strengthen our hearts through it. Jesus himself tells us that it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of God's words. When circumstances are overwhelming and constantly changing, it can be really hard to know what to believe on what we are reading these days. But one thing is very true. We can hold on to the word of God. God's word remains forever. He is unchanging. His word was the same yesterday, is the same today, and will be the same tomorrow. It is by the Spirit that God's truth can be revealed in our hearts. And he gives to us understanding of all that God is and all of his magnificent promises for us. His truth is alive. His truth is active. It is wisdom for us. It is support. We can experience his love and his comfort and his guidance and hope through it. His word displays his healing, the healing power of Christ through our hearts and for our minds and for our bodies and for our relationships. and how in this season we need the encouragement of God and strength by His Word. We need to experience Christ's deep love for us, His care for us. I encourage you to read it, whether it's directly from your Bible or through a reading app. You can do it on your own, or you can do it in community. You can do it with someone else, right? His Word is life, and it is light when things are difficult and things are dark. Sometimes we don't know where to begin. It's true. So what we've done is we've taken some of God's promises to us through His Spirit from Scripture, and we've created a document, and we've posted that document on Summit's homepage. And we would love for you to download it, read through it, pray over God's Word. This is experiencing Jesus through Scripture and how God's Word can awaken life inside of us. And with these verses, go at your own pace. Meditate on them. You can even practice prayer postures through them, right? Like closed fists and open hands. So, for example, you could use the verse on joy. It's from John 15:11, and it says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So what we can do is we can hold our hands like this, and we can say, Lord, I have been low and I have been discouraged, and I want to release this heaviness. I don't want to operate like this anymore. And then we can just open our hands and posture ourselves to receive. And then just say, I ask that your joy would be in me. And I ask that your joy would be complete. And we can believe in faith that those words that we pray, those every word that we say, He hears us. And as we read, He sees us and He wants to speak with us. And our emotions aren't always going to line up. But it's by faith that we trust that the Spirit is changing our private interior reality within us. As He is for us with such great love. And just like how His Word brought wholeness to those scattered bodies in the valley, His Word will bring life into our current condition. God's Word brings life. So in the vision in the valley, God displays another way that He brings about life. The second way is God's Spirit brings life. It was as the breath of God entered into their bodies that they came to life. And it reminds me of Jesus breathing onto the disciples in John 20. And as He breathed on them, they received His Spirit. I love the way that God wrote the Word, that it is almost like this painter creating this gorgeous canvas with textures and layers and colors. There's vastness to what He is showing us in this image, this picture of breath. It's a demonstration of our vital and constant need for Him. Our very lives depend on breathing. Right? We can picture our depth of intimacy with God as we picture His breath within us. This abiding union with the Spirit. We are together in our very being. By this picture of breath, we can see transformation. Right? We're breathing out of our old nature. And on the next inhalation, we are filling up with new life by the power of His Holy Spirit. This picture of breath, we see this limitless accessibility of God in abundance for all of us. He is all around us, always available. And using God's picture of breath, we can develop a practical way that can keep us presently abiding and postured for God's continual filling of His Holy Spirit. Richard Rohr teaches about breath and God's sacred name of Yahweh. Yahweh is a word that as we say it, we don't close our mouth or close our lips. It replicates breath. Way. Way. With every breath, we proclaim God. It reminds me of Psalm 150, and the psalmist declares, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." It says, every time, every person, every living creature that breathes, it points to God, Yahweh. Yahweh, it's the first word that we ever speak as we enter into this world and we take our first breath and we exhale our cry. We breathe the very name of God. It's the last thing that we will ever say as we pass from this life into the next, our dying breath, the name of God. Whether it's deep or shallow or panting or relaxed, every moment in our every act of breathing is for Him. We need it. Oh, we need it. In adversity and stress, our bodies forget to breathe. And right now, we are in the middle of a very highly stressful situation in this pandemic. And we can forget to breathe. And in the middle of difficulty, in the middle of pain, and in the middle of all of this fatigue that we're facing, we can forget that He is our very source and solution for our lives. And in the middle of all of this isolation and disconnection, we can forget our intimacy and our union with the living God deep within us. Every breath, there is a physiological change, a cellular change within us, and so much more on our bodies, this emotional change, but in our spirit. The Holy Spirit creates spiritual change. It is to be present and connected to the living God who is for us life. Breathing prayers have been around for a long time. There's lots of great resources on them. But I do want to give us one practice this week. Danielle Strickland recently did a great talk on breathing prayers, and she was talking about how she used her breathing during running as a time for confession. She would breathe out her junk, and she would breathe in God's forgiveness and His goodness. And we can practice a similar exercise, right? We can breathe out all those qualities that we just can't stand in languishing. And we can exchange them for the Spirit's life deep within us. We can breathe out boredom and worry and fear. And we can breathe in joy and self-control and peace. We can focus on one, and we can repeat it over and over. You can do it 3 times or 7 times, or you can focus on all of those things that are going on inside of you that happen every day in this difficult time. We need to acknowledge where we are. We need to name those things. That's when we're able to release them. And then we create that space that might be filled up by the Holy Spirit of God deep within us. And this can be a practice that you incorporate over yourself. But it can also be a practice that you can breathe over others. We can breathe in more of God and release Him over someone we love or another person as a prayer for them. Because remember in the valley, as individually they came alive, those bones became an army. Right? The Spirit is for us personally, but He is for us for our togetherness as well. When we are filled with the Spirit, we will overflow harmony and strength and community and power and love. This is the church united and strengthened by God to love and care for others in such a difficult time. And the world is facing loss in adversity and in tragic ways. Church, this is our time. Let us overflow. May we be the church that proclaims the love of God and demonstrates His kingdom by the very power of the Holy Spirit deep within us, that He would bring about His abundant life to a languishing world who needs Him. It's so true. So this week, church, I want to encourage us that we would live filled, that we would bring focus to our breath, that we would practice breath prayers as a way of stilling ourselves, receiving the power of the Spirit, and read Scripture, download the PDF, meditate on it, pray over it, be in God's word, that we would be strengthened by it and filled with His Holy Spirit, and that we would know and experience this life in full that Christ promised. Amen. Let's pray together. Jesus, we come before You this morning and acknowledge that You are God of the mountain and God of the valley, and no matter where we find ourselves, You are love and for us and good. And so it is my prayer today, oh God, for those that are experiencing languishing, that by the power of Your Spirit that You would meet them. That whether it is at the very beginning of their journey, and that You stir Your truth within them, or for those who have been walking with You a long time, I pray that You pour out Your Holy Spirit on Your people, and that they would receive You new and afresh. Jesus, we ask that we would be a people who were strengthened by Your word. Grow our love for Your scripture, that in turn Your Spirit would strengthen us by it, and that we would be a people who presently live with You, commune with You, abide deeply with You, that we would be receiving Your abundant life by the power of Your Spirit within us, that we would overflow on a world who needs You. We thank You for Your ever-present help. We love You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.